Well, la-di-da, it's the PC Gamer Podcast for January 10th, 2008. This is episode 115.
Rated T for Teen.
Sierra Entertainment proudly presents World in Conflict, the most intense strategy game ever created. 5 out of 5, easily one of the best gaming experiences of 2007. GameSpy.com. 9.5 out of 10, GameSpot.com Editor's Choice. A PC Gamer Editor's Choice Award winner, 93%. IGN.com's 94% Editor's Choice. War is coming home. World in Conflict. Available now for the PC.
Welcome back to our senior editor, Logan Decker, and our
Hello.
Senior executive intern, Norman Chan, who have both just returned to us from CES.
A little poor.
A little poor. I see.
What's your game of choice?
CES is in Las Vegas.
CES is in Las Vegas, yes. Also joining
Watch
us
out,
today.
Guess what happened?
Before we launch into it, our senior associate editor, Dan Stapleton.
Hi.
And our podcast producer, Jeremy Williams.
Greetings.
I'm your hostess, Kristen Salvatore. So, guys,
hostess.
How was CES?
Like pies.
Hostess like pies, yes. Just like pies.
And somebody
pies.
Did leave ho-hos on my desk, by the way, which that's an act of aggression that will be answered. I just want you to know that ahead of time. CES was fantastic.
Yeah, what's the best thing you saw?
Choosing best thing. I'd have to say that it's got to be a TV that you can look at with a pair of glasses, and two people can be looking at the same TV and see two different images.
What?
Was, oh my God!
Black magic.
It didn't even make sense.
It was decadent. Okay, so here's the idea. It's called the dual view from, and Texas Instruments is making it, but I don't think they're going to be selling it.
Texas
they want
Instruments
other
is still
license.
A company.
Oh yeah.
Oh, kids got to SATs with calculators, right?
Yeah, and it's this huge TV. I thought, I knew what it did, but I thought there's no way. This just can't work the way they say it will. But it's a big TV, and you look at it, and if you look at it without glasses, it looks like two images overlaid one on top of the other. You put glasses on, though, and you can flick a switch and go between either image. So think about it. You know, two different television shows can be playing on the same TV at the same time, being watched by two different people. How they're going to listen to the sound? I don't know, but if you're playing a game, you can both right. listen to the same sound and have first-person views, like in a racing game, of the same track.
The thing is, it would take two separate inputs. Yeah, so
right. yeah. yeah.
It's not like a split-screen thing. You need two Xbox 360s or two PCs right. or two PS3s yeah. plugged
well,
in.
With the current hardware that exists, yes, but if you could, in theory, develop a system that outputs two images.
But Jeremy was correct.
Trademark.
This is indeed magic. This is...
But what they didn't show us, or what they failed to mention, is whether the TV would work without splitting the image, or, you know, without glasses.
Right. Just, right.
Yeah.
You know what you could pointless. Do? You know what you could do, though, is just plug it into a PC. You've got, you know, every video card has two video out ports. So, you know, it's just two monitors
trippy.
At the same time.
So wait a minute. Is the image flickering when you look at it through the glasses?
No.
It looks smooth.
It is. I do believe that the glasses are polarized, so colors are muted, and I don't know how they'll get around that. You know, it's possible maybe they can tweak the colors on the output end, but even then, polarized glasses do filter light and color. So.
And are they just regular, sort of regular weight glasses? It's not like a headset or a...
No, it's like the kind of glasses you'd... they're a little heavier
quirky?
Than the old 3D glasses, you know? It's just a piece of film, really.
Are they talking about 3D technology at all? Because I imagine you could use this to give a different image to each eye.
They weren't talking about it, but I'm sure.
It's exactly the same technology.
Yeah.
So when you watch a 3D movie, how there are two images, but each lens of the polarized glasses is a different polarization. Here, it's just it's the same lens for both eyes.
Right.
So, Norm, what's the best thing you saw?
Air Guitar Hero, obviously.
Tell us more!
So, CES, it's massive.
I'm so excited about this.
It's so much bigger than I thought it was going to be. It was my first time there, and most of it's at the Las Vegas Convention Center. So it's maybe twice or three times the size of E3 just there. But there's this other area at the Sands Expo, which is all like the small, dinky peripheral companies. But that's actually where all the coolest stuff was, because everyone's seen a big wall of LCD TVs, but what I want to see are the robots and the weird gadgets. So in this hall, they had this setup. It looked like Guitar Hero, like the setup. Like, it looked like they were promoting Guitar Hero because it's actually licensed from the Guitar Hero company, the brand. But it wasn't Guitar Hero at all. It's a standalone machine. It's a mini amp that you put onto your belt, and it has like a little whammy bar also. But there's a motion sensor, so if you move your hand like you're playing a pick, or like you're strumming guitar in front of it, it'll play part of the song. And with each strum, it plays a different note. So they only have 10 songs, and it's going to be $30. But they had a guy dressed up as Slash, like fake Slash, and he was rocking out with air guitar, and the amp was playing it, and it was awesome.
I enjoyed listening to you relive that moment.
I can't wait to see that. Did you get, and you, if I'm not mistaken, you actually got footage of this, did you not?
Oh, yeah, we got footage of it, yeah.
Kristen, can we dress up Norman as Slash?
I thought we were going to do that anyway. I didn't know that had sorry, anything to do with where I'm going to Las Vegas.
We call that Tuesday.
Did you guys see the Gizmodo video of them walking around the show floor with a universal remote that
turns off awesome. TVs?
Yeah, it turns off every TV.
That was awesome.
I don't know. I just don't think they made any friends doing that.
No. I felt really bad for the guys, but it's the kind of thing where I'd never have the guts to do it myself, but I'm so glad somebody else did.
I think it's fantastic.
It's funny because it's not you up there.
Explain exactly what it was, because in case people haven't seen it.
They have a device that turns off TVs. What's it called?
Any TV.
TV Be Gone or something like that. And it'll just turn off. It's a universal remote. All it has is one button to turn off every TV in range.
And what it does is, see, TVs, a lot of remotes use IR, infrared, and when you buy a universal remote, you have to program whatever model or make your TV is. So this device, all it does is cycle through all the combinations, so it doesn't matter what TV, you're pointing at, but it'll eventually find the code for the on-off switch for that, and turn it off. So they're just walking down the entire, it's massive
just
showroom.
Like, how funny.
Yeah. And they're just pressing buttons and TVs.
My heroes. Can you imagine if they trained it on the big 150-inch TV during the demo?
They tried. There was no active IR port.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's funny because it's not me, but
exactly.
Yeah, that's. I find it hard to believe that there's like a major outlet that would pull something like that. If it was some little website trying to get attention, I'd see it. But I'd be surprised if they don't get some backlash from that.
Well, the interesting thing was Make Magazine gave out these things to people entering the building. So I'm surprised it wasn't more common.
It's cleaner entertainment than Britney's meltdown. So that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, but far less interesting. So everybody in this group, for to varying degrees, we all love our gadgets and our shiny toys. But it's funny because it sort of... we sort of divide, like, some people here are really into their music devices, some people are really into their phones. So, like, Dan, what's the best, like, the coolest gadgety toy that you have or you've ever gotten?
Probably the thing that increased my quality of life most of any gadget I've ever gotten has been my Creative Zen Vision M.
Which, you love that thing.
Yeah, I used it, and I recently got the little Zen, which is, just an evolution of that. It's smaller and, but... I commute on public transportation, so it's about 40 minutes each way, and before I had that thing, it was much more difficult to get through the commute, or much more boring anyway. Music is good, but not nearly as good as being able to watch some TV shows or movies on the way to and fro. So that improved my quality of life dramatically.
So am I wrong in assuming that the other three of you are going to say your iPhones?
Well, does this, can we say our first computer, or is this only recent years?
Yeah, well, no, but I mean, does that really count as a gadget?
Right. I would have to say my iPhone.
Actually, at this stage, now I'm at the stage where I have complaints about my iPhone, so I'm not
sure.
You
had it for like a week?
Well, it drives me crazy that it doesn't work with my Bluetooth keyboard. you know? So I can't use it as like a little word processor to go like I can my old my 3-4-year-old Dell Axim.
Yeah, the Bluetooth is very limited.
Yeah, wireless, you know, little keyboard. You can put it up on your airline tray or whatever.
You know, so, when you're in the Mac ecosystem, you gotta deal with compromises. It's all about that, the points, right?
That, yeah. So that pains me, you know. But I did see.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I saw at CES what I think could be my dream gadget. It was
cue music.
It was. This is exactly what I've wanted for years: a pen that digitally records everything you write, but does not force you to write on special paper. Now, I do have a pen, the Logitech I/O, that will record everything you write, but you have to write on their special paper that's got a little fine grid of dots behind it. This was from I/O Gear, and it says you don't need special paper. Because I love to write longhand, you know? And but I'm going to try not to get too excited, which is a little unusual for me, until I get a crack at it. But, oh baby.
That's sort of similar to what my to what my dream gadget would be. I really someday hope that there will be a voice recorder and software that will accurately translate in some cases, I guess. Yeah, transcribe what you've spoken onto into writing. But I think
make
we're still
our jobs
a
little
ways. Yeah, sure would. What's the weirdest, silliest thing anybody's ever seen? Like the silliest.
You mean at the CES or just gadgets?
Either. But well, what's the silliest thing? What's the silliest thing you saw at CES?
There was a booth of this company was selling something called the iShoe, and that Logan really, really wanted.
I liked it.
It was the thing is their booth was like right when you went into this into the hall, so there's always a small bunch of people crowding around it, and it was super lame. It was basically imagine a go-kart frame, but with three wheels, and you attach it to your shoe. It's a small little shoe attachment, and the guy had a remote control, and then he could like move maybe 20 feet, and then turn around and move 20 feet back.
It was automated walking. Who doesn't want that?
And it looked like he was struggling to balance himself, and I'm sure that if there was any kind of like
look like that. He
any
looked
kind
like
of
a ballerina.
Incline, he would fall over.
It looked like ballet, like robots in ballet.
It was clumsy and useless.
Hater, did you try it? Did you?
I didn't want to try. I didn't want to kill myself.
Shame on you. Rush to judge. That's what we're hearing right now. But I can tell you what the most heinous gadget is right off the top of my head I've ever seen. It I can't remember what exactly it was called, but all you have to do is Google the words USB ear scope.
That sounds disgusting already.
And it does exactly what you think it does.
Oh,
it attaches
God.
To your PC, and you stick it in your ear, and it shows you in real time what you're looking at in your ear canal. You can even take pictures, which I'm sure you know you can use as your desktop, you know, wallpaper, or send your mom. And then the kicker is at the very end of the camera, it's also got a scraper.
Ooh.
That's really gnarly.
You know what? It's fun for all ages.
Did they have a demo unit out on the floor you could try?
No, I saw this. I saw this a couple years ago.
Oh, I see.
You know, Logan. I think you're limiting the usefulness of that because it's not just good for ears. It's also good for your nose.
Oh,
that's true.
Oh,
that is true. Or the USB colonoscopy. I mean, hey, you could like. That's
fun
true.
For the whole family.
Mom playing doctor.
Playing doctor, exactly.
Wee colonoscopy, right. Hey, listen, they're putting it in senior citizens' home.
So, you know, that is a gadget that you can see for yourself. Just USB, ear scope, you know, just Google it.
So was there any gaming presence at all at CES? Over the years, I think it's gotten like less and less about gaming and more about gadgets and like, you know.
Well, it always has been about gadgets.
But there has certainly been a gaming presence.
Isn't that where E3 sort of splintered off from CES?
Well, that's right.
The focus, of course, you'll find very little on any specific games, publishers, or developers, but lots from anyone who does gaming hardware. Alienware had one of the best things to show off at the entire show, which was a curved DLP rear projection display.
Oh, that looked awesome.
Yeah, I mean, basically, if you haven't seen it on the web yet, what it looks like is if you took a normal sort of TV that's a bit on the, you know, a classic CRT TV, and sort of stretched it into a curve. And that's what it looks like, because it is rear projection, so it needs to be a little thicker in the back. But you have the beautiful image of a DLP processor in a kind of wraparound display. Now,
is basically four LCD panels strapped together, and they did their best to eliminate the seam between them. So,
No. That's not what this one was. That's what Voodoo showed last year, where they had projections projecting onto to displays from beneath. This one is actually twin DLP projectors shooting at you from, you know, the glasses between you and the projector.
Right. But I mean, like, looking at the video of it, you can see the seams of the...
Well, there are small seams so far, and they haven't...
The seam is there because it's two projectors, and where they overlap is where you'll see the seams.
Right,
and,
but
you know where the seam is going to be, it's because glass isn't curved. It's
right,
you know,
you can't actually
angled.
Curve the glass, so there are seams where it... Right.
Well, they say they will be able to eliminate the seams. They just weren't able to do so on this prototype unit by the time the show came.
Also, the resolution on it isn't fantastic, at least the vertical resolution. You know, the horizontal resolution is obviously huge because it is basically four screens strapped together. But
that's something I noticed when we had our Matrox triple head to go unit in, and we put three LCDs together. It's great that you can look to the side and you can see stuff, and it works when the field of vision settings are changed. But all it does is makes me wish that. You know, you could do it for... You could look higher and lower, too.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be good to be a Cylon simulator.
Ooh.
Back and forth.
Is it fair to say that was the, you know, like, in terms of hardware, gaming, you know, any sort of... The direction of gaming hardware as shown at CES, like, the main stuff we're going to see is in displays and...
This year, was.
And you know what? There's been so much talk about the convergence of like game consoles and home theaters and home entertainment, but there's like I didn't see a single Xbox 360 on the show floor, and there was one, like maybe three PS3s in the Sony booth. The massive.
I feel
Sony
like there's been a move away from that. I feel like that convergence was the big watchword for the last couple of years, and that some for whatever reason people are finally getting the idea that, like, you know what, folks are just not that interested in having their computer and their TV and their game console all. You know, and their music all locked up into one device. It sounds a lot more efficient to me, but people are just still have not made the leap between, you know, my PC belongs in my office situation and my gaming console and music belong somewhere else. So,
I think it's kind of weird that nobody really wants to use their gaming consoles as videos, especially now that, you know, it looks like Blu-ray is finally going to win the high-definition format thing.
Oh, that was a...
And I guess that was the big announcement at CES.
Yeah.
Right before over the weekend, Warner Brothers announced that they were going to go Blu-ray exclusive, which gives Blu-ray 70% of the market. And it was so sad. I know HD-DVD, they were a huge sponsor of CES. We walked into the big hall, and you see these huge banners, because obviously they didn't have enough time to change it. It's Toshiba sponsoring HD-DVD, you know.
Oh, man.
Every press... member got a free gift bag or a backpack that was like that's had HD DVD a like, huge on the side of the bag.
They even canceled
their collector's items.
I was just gonna say they'll be collector's items.
The HD DVD consortium actually canceled their press conference after the announcement because they obviously had to rejigger their message.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And but you know, I mean after who was it that split? It was Universal.
Universal still at HD.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No. So it was War. Yeah. Warner split. It was. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Ever since then, there have been rumors popping up that everybody else is going to switch to Blu-ray as well, and it's not looking very good for HD. So it is good that a lot of PC people have held off on upgrading to either of the two formats. I mean, I've been holding out because I don't want to be stuck like Norm is with a bunch of HD DVDs that will not be all that useful to him unless they come out with a dual format player.
Someday he can show them to his grandchildren. Kids, I remember back during the
I did see though that there is a for the PC there is a, now a Blu-ray player for under $200.
Really?
I forget who makes it, but I saw a post on Engadget. So
that's a problem with that. I don't think we're going to get Blu-ray or high def players. They're not going to be reasonable for the PC because a lot of video cards don't have HDCP out, and a lot of monitors don't have HDCP supported, so they can't play the movies, the copy protected movies in high definition.
All right.
The other thing is that the only software available to play Blu-ray is PowerDVD. It's this new edition of PowerDVD, which is so riddled with bugs. If you do a search on Google, or you'll find the AVS forum thread on that, and it's just disastrous. You want to set
Nero,
you want
to the new version of Nero does it as well, though.
It does?
Plays it?
Yeah, I believe so.
Mm-hmm. Are they ever going to start putting PC games on Blu-ray?
No, not in the foreseeable future. I shouldn't say foreseeable, but not in the near future.
We just got DVD like consistently last year.
I was just gonna say, yeah.
Right. But.
So I know that you know what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, blah blah blah. But you know, it's just like the three of us and the other 10 people listening to this podcast. What'd you guys get up to while you were there?
I was entirely innocent, as always.
Really? You just like went to the show and then went home and watched
absolutely
movies?
And meditated.
You know
and
what? I totally meditated. That's exactly what Logan did because he's old.
So what did you do, Norm?
How much what did you do, Norm?
Huh? Gambled a lot. Allowance?
What happened to your
How much
allowance?
Is a lot, Norm?
There was a good, like, the first night we were there, Dave Murphy, Mike Brown from XPC and I, we stayed up at the blackjack table till like 4 a.m. till the well was empty. All three of our wells were empty.
What was the minimum bet on your blackjack table?
Oh, it was just like $10.
All right.
It was not pretty at 4 a.m. And then we had, of course, an 8 o'clock meeting next morning.
Delightful. So
I want to note that Norm did bring it today, on today's podcast. So anything I do from here on is totally asked for, right?
You know what?
Requested.
Why the heck not?
Yeah. Okay. Norm brought it. Okay. Anyway, go on, please.
Well, yes. Since clearly you guys had apparently the most boring time ever two men have ever had in Las Vegas.
Norm did try to get into the AVNs.
I did try to get an AVN.
Oh, hi. I totally forgot.
Yeah. So they're in the Sands Expo. Every year, the adult film industry has their convention at about the same time as CES, either the same week or the following weekend.
And entirely coincidental.
Exactly.
Right.
There was one overlapping day for me, which was yesterday, Wednesday. And it was the first day of AVNs, but I couldn't get in because it was a trade day only. And they had a huge sign that said, CES members, a CES badge will not get you an AVN. I was so disappointed, and you could tell because walking in the Venetian, walking away from CES, you'd see
just like
all
a bunch
the porn
of
stars, like all and their pimps walking toward the AVN.
Their pimps, porn stars are not prostitutes.
Well, they have like handlers.
Yeah. Handlers.
They're producers, directors.
They're fluffers.
Handlers.
Anyway,
I've always said that I've never been to CES, but if I ever go, I think I'm going to stay away from the AVNs because I figure if an STD is ever going to mutate and go airborne, it's going to be there.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, well, on to something a little more innocent. Who used to play Oregon Trail when they were kids? Besides
ooh,
me, anybody
God,
else?
Me.
I'm the freak who didn't. I hadn't even heard of it till this podcast told
what?
Me about it. Yeah.
Wow. You are a freak.
Yep.
Your geek card has been revoked. Logs, you used to play. Do you want to explain Oregon Trail?
Yeah, Oregon Trail is. it has rudimentary graphics, but I think I'd like to think of it as more a text based.
Well, the earliest versions didn't even have graphics.
No, it was all text based. That's right.
And you take to the Oregon Trail and see if you can survive this journey.
Great American Adventure.
Yes.
Across the deadly wilderness. And it's not easy because you have
dysentery.
Cattle to worry about.
You have to hunt.
Yeah.
That's right.
You have a whole family to keep alive, and you have to make sure you have enough food supplies and clothing to keep yourself warm. So it's really like
a wagon day, wheels.
Every day, it's a life and death struggle.
So do we know who it is that's done this? The Thule Trail?
Awesome people. That's all I know.
Yeah, some people.
Thule Trail.
I think they're Swedish, In any case, the Oregon Trail has been updated. So the website, I believe, is thuletrail.com, thuletrail.com. And it's the Oregon Trail, but instead of, you know, you as pioneers, you are on a road trip going to a concert. And so, you know, like I played it for a little while and it, you know, it asks the people you want to put in your car. So I had, my passengers were, dog is my co-pilot, Albert Einstein, Gaz, and your mom were all my passengers. And so as you're driving across the country, you need to make sure you have enough food. You have to, you need to make sure you have enough games and CDs to keep your passengers from fighting. You need to have jumper cables in case your car breaks down. It's great. It's good fun. So it's the Oregon Trail, but updated. And it's got good quirky humor. I'm amused.
We should get you a stamp that says I'm amused.
I'm amused.
You know, I just remembered another the strangest gadget I saw at CES. It was the it was called the Giddy Up Core Exerciser.
Just let it sink in. Giddy Up Core Exerciser. Let those images sort of simmer for a while.
Mustang.
What it is, it's kind of a big plastic saddle and you sit on it. And you won't be surprised about that part. And then you activate it, and it starts to, you know, like trot like a horse. And, you know those things in front of the supermarket you put a quarter in, and it kind of, your kids ride it for a while? That's what it is, except the thing is by trying to sit upright, you're apparently exercising your core, which is, I'm assuming, your midsection, maybe your kidneys and spine, I don't know. And this is supposed to have some sort of, you know, physical benefit of some kind.
Oh, I'm sure it has a physical benefit.
But what it really feels like is being punched repeatedly in the nads. So it was a bit, I just didn't, you know, think it. It didn't live up to its promise as far as I was concerned. But, you know, I just like that it was called the Giddy Up Core Exerciser.
Women who were trying it, what did they think?
What?
Sure that's going to be their big market. But Logan, what about that pet? That sleeping pet?
Oh my God. What the? We were walking around in the Sands Convention Center. We had just traversed the robotics aisle, and there was a display of something or other. I don't know, like a birthday cake computer designer thing. I don't know. And then, but at the corner of the booth was a sleeping pet, but it obviously wasn't like a real pet. It looked stuffed. But if you looked closer, it was breathing. And, you know, you could see it was like a little doggy, and it was curled up like a sleeping dog.
But it's not really a dog.
You could see its midsection rising and falling.
That's what it does?
Yeah, that's all it does. It doesn't articulate. There are no joints or anything. So if you lift it up, it was completely
just
flat and furry on the bottom.
Oh, I thought for sure, like you
like
could
like a frozen
wake it up.
Pizza, right?
Ew.
But the dog's eyes were closed and its chest was expanding, and it wasn't even natural. It looked like there was a bulb, like a tumorous growth, like just expanding and collapsing.
I thought for
like
sure
an alien
its
baby
eyes
was
were going to open and it was going to start barking, so I pick it up and it's still curled up.
That's disgusting.
And it doesn't do anything, it sleeps.
That's more than Logan does.
Merry Christmas, Susie.
Ew. We need to get one of those in. That's like those, there's some news story I saw recently online. I can't remember, but it was for some news show in the UK about these women who carry around these fake babies that are really realistic looking, that like breathe and everything. They were like fake sleeping babies. They like go grocery shopping with them and kind of similar.
In order to get preferential treatment?
I don't know. No, it's just because they want to have the experience of having a baby without actually having a baby.
Hmm. That's really in right now, having babies.
What, having babies are in?
Yeah.
They're the hot accessory this fall or what? Wow.
Oh, but you know what's so great about that, though, is that by the time they're not babies anymore, babies will no longer be in. It'll be having infants or, you know, or preteens.
Wow.
So you'll constantly be, you know, at the cutting edge.
You got to catch the wave now.
Right. Whoa. All right, well, back to gaming. DJ, I'm going to let you explain what's going on here. It's time for cake. Portal, first slice. Dan.
Okay, so yesterday, NVIDIA and Valve put out they put out a what they're calling an extended demo of Portal, which I guess is I haven't actually played through to make sure, but they say it's about 5 levels of Portal, which I don't know how extended that's going to be, because the first 5 levels of Portal take like 7 minutes total.
Yeah.
So
I don't think it's the first 5 levels. It's 5 random level or 5 levels that show off the Portal Portal's features and personality.
Right. And it's a very short game, so I mean, putting out a demo seems a little bit weird to begin with, because how much of it can you show without giving away a big chunk of the full game, but in any case, if you own an NVIDIA graphics card, you can go onto Steam and download this demo. If you own an ATI card, you're kind of
That's kind of weird, because Valve has always had a partnership with ATI. Mm-hmm. All the people who bought the last gen ATI cards supposedly got a free copy of the Black Box, before that was killed. But now, I guess they're partnering with NVIDIA, and it's largely because of the Steam survey, they said, because the vast majority of their users have NVIDIA cards.
Right.
So for them, it made sense.
Yeah, it's always been a marriage of convenience. I mean, they'll go with whoever has a bigger install base, and really whoever probably wants to pay them for exclusivity rights. It's it's not that Valve necessarily thinks that NVIDIA is super cool. It's that they've got a bunch of users, and they were probably offered money.
I would say they'd have to be. I mean, if they really wanted to sell games, they'd release an agnostic demo.
Right.
Right. I mean, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for Valve to do this unless NVIDIA is paying them. Now, see, I don't really understand the real benefit to NVIDIA from doing this, because, I mean, yes, it's nice that I have an NVIDIA card, I can play this, but who with an ATI card is going to say, oh, I'm going to go out and buy a $270 I'm going to go out and buy a $270 GeForce card so I can play a demo of a 30.
It's reinforcement of the brand.
I see a lot of value.
Yeah, they feel bad, and then in the future when they're making their next purchase, they can, if NVIDIA continues to push these kind of deals, then they can, have that in their mind that, I might get something cool in the future.
I still don't understand the benefit to Valve. First of all, how much money could NVIDIA possibly be paying them? It's Valve. It's not like they need, it's not like they're having cash flow problems. So why on earth?
You can always have more.
I'm just saying, why on earth, what does this really do other than set them in a position? I mean, despite the fact that NVIDIA is clearly winning that battle right now, if history has taught us nothing, it's that, things can change really fast. So why on earth would Valve align itself in such a way as to thumb its nose at, at a company that's still very much a contender? I don't understand.
Hmm. Well, they're very much a contender in the grand scheme of things, but right now they're not.
Yeah.
Right now, the price performance ratio is heavily in NVIDIA's favor.
There's no question, but it's I don't understand.
There are reversals that happen, but I mean, Valve, they have really no incentive to.
Why they have incentive to throw down the gauntlet like that.
But what? It may have been as simple as they were approached, and it was a way to get a little more publicity for a great game.
And if the tide does turn, then ATI will be all over Valve for the next thing. So it's not like they're burning any bridges.
I guess.
Except they might piss off some people that are using ATI cards. And for a lot of people, demos are the deciding factor in whether they get a game. And they just won't buy a game until they've tried it themselves.
Sure.
And if you have an ATI card and this happens, and if I were in that situation, I'd be pretty pissed at NVIDIA.
I would just think, it's just a demo BFD,
Right.
Whereas if I'm on the other side, I'm thinking, oh, that's a nice little bonus.
Logan, do we have any sense of what the current install base is of NVIDIA versus ATI cards? Like, do we have any sense of what, we know that NVIDIA certainly has.
There are two places you can go.
In terms of performance.
Yeah. There are two places you can go for some interesting statistics. One is if you let Steam take a look at your system and upload those specs. And it's, you know, you can check out what everybody's using. It is vastly weighted in favor right now of NVIDIA.
It's like the distribution I'm looking at right now, because they do it based on the drivers. Mm-hmm. It's like 62% to 30% or something.
That's huge.
It's 65-35.
Yeah. Okay. And another place you can check it out is 3D Mark 06, Future Mark, keeps those statistics as well. And you can use their free benchmark. You can download it at futuremark.com. And once you're done uploading your benchmark statistics, you can see everyone else's. And it's the same spread over there. It's very similar.
I don't know, though. I mean, that's a significant spread, but it's not, you know, 80-20. 35% is still pretty significant.
I don't think the spread means as much as we think it means, and especially not for the enthusiast user, because the vast majority of those people could be using low-end or mid-range cards. And, you know, for the enthusiasts, all they care about is who has the fastest card. Right, so one company could be dominating the mid ranges or even the integrated stuff, the Dell systems, you know. Mm-hmm. But for us, it's which company has the fastest and cheapest.
I think the statistic does mean a lot, because a lot of people, you know, they don't want to be bothered by all the sort of heavy lifting you have to do as an enthusiast. They follow the crowd, and right now that momentum is, there's no question, it's definitely with NVIDIA.
Right,
and I think that the Steam number means a lot more than the 3D Mark number, because the 3D Mark number is just people that take the time to actually benchmark their systems.
That's true. That is true.
The Steam one, like anybody who you know plays games like Portal and Team Fortress, sure, or anything like that, has, you know, it pops up with a thing saying, do you want to let Steam, yeah, take a look at your system?
Right.
That's a good point.
Well, speaking of performance hikes, there's a crisis patch. Yay! But none of us have downloaded it yet, right?
I haven't tried it out yet, because I'm still waiting for Logan to hook me up with a quad core before I install my copy again.
Hey, Jeremy, do you have a boo-hoo sound effect? can you cue that right now? Or actually, do you have a sound effect of a hand being out?
The world's smallest
something
island,
like that.
Right.
It sounds like this. Gimme, gimme, gimme. So I'm still waiting for that before I reinstall Crisis.
We'll fire it up by the end of the day.
Okay. Yeah, Dan, you had said yesterday. It's funny, because Dan and I had a little chat over the wall here yesterday where Dan said, oh, it's supposed to increase performance significantly. And the curmudgeon in me was like, well, what does significantly mean? Like, what's the actual, you know, frame rate increase? So we haven't seen anything yet on... get out of it.
I haven't looked up any benchmarks yet, but I was talking to Deslock, who's playing it now, and he's got an SLI system, and he said he's gone from like 30 frames per second to 50.
Wow!
Really? Okay, that is a grand.
Yeah. What?
So it's not a small increase apparently, but I guess based on our forums, some people are seeing a larger increase than others. So it may you know vary heavily based on, you know, which GPU you've got.
Awesome sauce.
Wow.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how that pans out. We are all also really looking forward to, speaking of things we're looking forward to, Fallout 3. There's a new developer diary that was released yesterday. Did you guys get a chance to take a look at it?
I did.
It has all kinds of really awesome concept art, and I'm just so excited for this game.
It's all a backstory for the Brotherhood of Steel and basically what they're doing out in Washington, D.C., as opposed because in the first two Fallout games were set in California and Nevada, you know, stretch into Nevada. But the Brotherhood of Steel seemed to be, you know, based out there, or out here anyway. But, you know, all of a sudden, like, they're moving the franchise over to D.C., which is conveniently where Bethesda is based. They're actually based in Bethesda, Maryland, but, you know, short drive from D.C., So they're, you know, they're kind of explaining how, you know, why the Brotherhood of Steel is out there. According to this, they're out there looking for technology left behind by when the Pentagon was destroyed in you know the nuclear holocaust that created the post-nuclear setting. So the Brotherhood is obsessed with collecting technology that was and hoarding it basically for themselves. So they sent out a group of warriors to track that down and to find out or to investigate reports they'd had of super mutants out in DC. So it's a bunch of backstory.
I was just going to say, if you didn't play the previous Fallout games, this is a really great way to get yourself kind of up to date, because I think I would hate to think that people are going to skip this game if for some reason they didn't play the other ones, because it looks like it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, and it seems pretty self-contained. I mean, for the reason I just described, where it's in a new area. I mean, I don't think they're going to lean too heavily on people having played these two games 10 years ago. So I'm not too worried that people are going to get in there and find themselves lost.
That must suck to be like a mutant, you know, and then to find out that there are super mutants. So you're not all that great. You're not all that, you know?
You're just kind of an okay mutant.
Yeah, you're just like, you know, everyone's like, whatever.
Yeah, it's just a run-of-the-mill mutant.
This is Ian Dawson, aka D-Dude, on the Steam community. I had a great thought recently, and thought you may find it interesting. Don't you think it'd be amazing to have a level of an FPS set in the Mirror Maze? Seriously, it must be graphically doable, and it would be amazingly tense and really confusing, as anyone who's ever been in a Mirror Maze will testify. Anyway, what I was wondering is if you have any ideas for levels or games that you wish they'd hurry up and make. Or if you have any funny stories about Mirror Mazes. Thanks guys, and keep up the great work.
Yes, I'd like one set in the future women's bathroom. Future publishing women's bathroom.
I thought you meant a women's bathroom of the future.
That too. Do you think it's going to change much?
That's later on in the game. Oh, hey, games with mirror mazes. All right, I can think of one. First of all, there was, let's not forget, what was it, the Bruce Lee movie in the Mirror Maze?
The
mirrors, yeah. What was that? Oh, great scene.
It's
Enter the Dragon.
Enter the Dragon.
How do you go about filming that? Jeez. Anyway, I agree, yeah, it would be very tense. The only game I can think of that had a Mirror Maze, and it did, was the game Darkseid or Darkseid 2. It was an adventure game from the late 80s or early 90s, and the sets and the illustrations were done by H.R. Giger, the guy who did the Alien craft.
Was it like?
I would love to know why Kristen is laughing at this cultural.
Because I was just imagining the idea of an adventure game with a mirror maze, like what the tree looks like. You know, like number one, you look in the mirror. Number two, you look in the mirror. Number three, you look in the mirror.
No, it was a graphic adventure.
Okay.
Now, I wonder.
But the thing is you looked. It was a top-down mirror maze, so it wasn't really, whatever. It was
problem. I have to wonder though. He's asking for a first-person shooter, I have to wonder though if there are going to be performance problems with that, because
totally
they'll reflect themselves, and then infinite. Repetition there, which is going to kill your frame rate.
My God, I'm just like nauseated just thinking about it.
Well, the thing is, that's part of the appeal, to make it confusing, but if you think about Portal, it technically is like a mirror maze, and, when,
yes,
and if you look in the settings in Portal, you can tell the engine how many layers of it wants you want the game to draw, so you can draw maybe 20 portals deep, like when you're following like an infinite loop, or you can draw maybe three levels deep if you don't want to tax your system. So that could be applied to the mirror level as well. I want a level, instead of it being mirrors, it would copy your actions, it would record your movements, and then spawn a clone of you, and then and that you could fight or have some kind of weird gameplay mechanic.
That's like Microsoft's ill-fated mascot, Blinks the Time Sweeper.
Yeah. You know, Norm, I know how to win that. What?
The Xbox came out. Sorry, Dan.
I know how to beat your level, Norm. Just hold still.
No, Blinks the Time Sweeper. There were some puzzles that you needed to do it once, and then you reverse time, and then cooperate with yourself to solve puzzles. It was pretty cool. But I don't know why it wasn't more popular, because I love cats that wear goggles.
This is LAN 115. I just heard about the figure prints thing. Do you know if they're going to make them for any other MMOs, like City of Heroes, perchance? Thanks.
I don't know.
Well,
but we
what
should
a great
ask.
Idea, though.
I think he said that they were open to the idea, but they're just they have so much to deal with Blizzard right now. But they certainly want to expand to other MMOs.
It makes a lot of sense.
You know what? That's an opportunity for any entrepreneur out there.
That's right.
Who wants to spend $100,000 buying, you know,
a 3D printer.
3D printer. Right. You can go talk to NCSoft and start your own company. And make millions. That's the equation.
Mm-hmm. But phase one, buy printer.
Exactly.
Phase two.
Make millions.
Talk to NCSoft. Right. Phase three, millions. There's your business plan. That's right. Phase two, question mark. There's your business plan.
Hey, PC Gamer. I have nothing to say except happy Wednesday, and I love the podcast. Thank you.
We love you.
Aw, wow. Thanks.
I think he was high.
Hey, guys. This is Jonathan.
Logan.
He was. That's the only answer. I'm sorry. Oh, God, I'm sorry. That was cat fantastic. Sorry.
Okay. Hey guys, this is Jonathan from California. So I have a question concerning the Tom Clancy End War RTS game. There's been a few previews on different sites like GameSpot and IGN, and the game looks absolutely fantastic with the voice command and stuff. But all the different sites are giving out different release dates for the game. Some of them say Q1, 2008, some say Q2. So my question is, do you guys know anything about when this game will come out, and why is it that the release dates for games are always different from site to site? Thanks, I love the podcast. Keep it up.
Well, the first thing we know about Tom Clancy's End War is it has not been announced for the PC. So we don't actually keep track of it. But I can tell you that release date info is different from site to site because release dates are really hard to squeeze out of developers, and sometimes they'll give slightly different answers depending on who you talk to, because a lot of the time they don't have it nailed down themselves. So it's kind of a shot in the dark.
Kristen, this is Doug. I figured I would let you know through a friend that the best jelly bean to put in the jelly bean pooping reindeer is root beer. It looks accurate and tastes remarkably good considering how it looks. Anyway,
it looks accurate.
Thanks for the podcast to all. Happy New Year. Keep up the great work and good luck in the future.
The last time I saw reindeer poop, it wasn't shiny and kidney bean
shaped. You
know
what? I wonder if I should put the same ones because I also have a pooping chicken here.
No, what you need to do is you need to take the root beer jelly bean and then pop it in your mouth and chew it slightly.
And put it back in the...
Then put it in the deer. Then you have something that, the verisimilitude is much higher.
Hi there, PC Gamer Podcast. This is Nick from Clovis, California. I was wondering what you guys thought about the Games for Windows Live initiative. The whole achievements, the GUI, the in-game messaging, and specifically the fact that a paid-for gold account is required to access certain online components to various games like Gears of War and Universe at War. Personally, I feel like it's not something that's going to sit well with PC gamers, considering we've had our online play free for everything except for MMOs. That's about it. Thanks, and I love the podcast. And in fact, the podcast is the reason I subscribe to the magazine. So enjoy your synergy. Bye.
Amen, brother.
Synergy. We
testify. Yes. Yes, on all accounts. I think we've all been. And please, somebody jump in here if you disagree with me. But I think we've all been really disappointed with the quote unquote live initiative.
I am not amused.
For a wide variety of reasons, not the least of which is, the fact that PC gamers are being asked to pay for something that they've been getting for free. But you know what, Dan? I know you particularly... I'm going to give you a hater minute, because I know you have particularly strong feelings
hater
about
minute.
This. So. Hater minute.
It has been very inconvenient for me in particular. Maybe not just in particular, but for me, it has been very inconvenient. I keep running into problems with it, which to be fair may have to do with the fact that I have installed preview builds of games that use it on my machine, and that might screw it up. But things like the save games in Gears of War and I just tried to play Halo 2 the other day and I couldn't get online or I couldn't sign in for whatever reason. But say hypothetically your internet connection is down, I couldn't play the game at all because I couldn't get onto live. So that annoys me. I mean, even Steam, you know, has the offline mode that you can set it to. So that rubs me the wrong way a bit. I also think that they were very foolish not to have a separate application, somewhat like Steam, where the whole live interface is available outside of a game, so that I don't have to already be in a game for somebody to invite me to play a game with them. I think that's
lame. Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You played Shadowrun, right?
It's just been so long.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to actually start the game in order to be invited to a game. Whereas, you know, the whole point of the thing on Xbox, like on the 360, is that, you know, if somebody can just see you on, or like if you have your Xbox on, somebody can say, hey, come play a game with me. Not so much with this. You have to IM somebody in AIM or whatever, say, hey, start your game, and then send them a message in within live to do it, which is really a waste of the PC's potential. Meanwhile, Steam does all that stuff, and it does it for free. Steam even has achievements now. So I just don't see the appeal of games for Windows Live.
I'm very, very glad that Microsoft does not own my nose, because if they did, I would not be able to pick it without logging on to some service that I don't really care for, you know?
Right.
Because they're not adding anything as far as I'm concerned. You know, I know they think they do, and I, you know, I'm sure some attempt is being made, but you know all these things are new to console gamers. They're not new to PC gamers. In fact, they're very, very, very old and traditional and customary.
And that's actually the crux of my disappointment with this initiative, is I was really hoping that they were going to come up with some new and exciting stuff that kind of pushed the envelope. Like, I thought it was a grand opportunity for Microsoft to do something really cool that reminded the rest of the gaming world why PC gaming is so great, and instead, you know.
We all hope that, and it's just it's not happening.
And even you know, how long has it been since Shadowrun and Halo 2 came out? Like, the better part of a year, there's been virtually no upgrades to it. I mean, there have been a couple behind-the-scenes tweaks, but virtually nothing has changed about the interface, which is the worst part about it. And, I mean, they're just not giving it the attention it needs.
It's all part of the Vista flop, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean,
we'll see what happens with the next OS. They might fix it.
What's the estimated time of arrival for the next OS?
I've heard 2010. I'm sure you all saw the clip of Bill Gates being asked what product does he think was most half-baked of all the Microsoft products.
Well, he was asked what, and this was on Gizmodo. They asked him which Microsoft product of the last few years do you wish that you could have spent more time polishing before release? And his answer was, ask me after we release the next version of Windows, and I'll be able to give you an honest answer.
Right.
Which is not a very, I mean, you know, it's not directly about Vista, but very indirectly about Vista. It's been, I mean, I've been on Vista for a year now. I'm not really upset with it. It just doesn't, you know, really, I think, like, how many things have I done on this I couldn't have done on XP? Not a whole lot.
Well, we'll see if there's any turnaround when the first service pack comes out. But then again, at the same time, there's a service pack coming out for XP. So that'll be a very interesting time, and it'll be very soon.
You will hear
from us.
Yeah. I would say that in terms of, at this point, in terms of the live initiative, anyone who might, and certainly in this office, anybody who might have been tempted to sort of follow it and stick with it and see whether or not it was going to get any better is already on Steam now and using Steam, this, you know, the Steam... functionality.
Still,
I just can't see, you know.
There are still games that come out that, you know, that you can still play on there.
Yeah, but you know, I'm done.
Were you guys surprised to see the Rockstar stuff show up on Steam last week?
I mean, not really, because 2K's stuff has been on there. It was kind of weirder that it wasn't on there.
I'm not surprised by anything showing up on Steam at this point.
What surprises me is that it doesn't happen faster, that everybody's not going to Steam, because they do, you know, I know there are a lot of problems, but they do a great job.
It's a legal issue. It's in order for a company, we're talking to Mario Kroll at CDTV about this at CES, the company, the publisher needs to have like worldwide distribution rights in order to have their game uploaded on Steam.
Oh,
because distribute like some companies, you know, they share distribution rights with other companies overseas.
Yeah.
So it's the region stuff.
Well, there you have it. That makes sense.
I personally just wish that EA would give up on their own little EA downloader thing.
Here, here.
Because it's not anywhere. It can't hold a candle to Steam. And they would be better served, I think, letting a third party handle that aspect of it for them.
Well, certainly,
but then EA can't sell ads on it.
But given that Valve and EA have an established relationship, it's entirely possible that that will happen at some point. Who knows? Okay, you guys, let's do some playlists. Dan, what are you playing?
I actually went back and replayed Freedom Force versus the Third Reich last weekend, which was
really
awesome. Yes. I was talking to a buddy on New Year's Eve who's primarily on a Mac, but he's a huge comic book fan, and I had introduced him to the first Freedom Force, and he came back and was asking how can he like rent a computer or something to play the second one, because you know he's had some free time and wanted to play the game. So you know that got me thinking about it, and I just went back and replayed the whole thing over a weekend, which is, it's a fantastic game, it really is. And you know, I was able to tell my friend send him a link on Amazon for $5, you can get that game. So
wow.
It's really too good to pass up. If you like superheroes at all, it's a lot of fun, and the story is great. I mean, it's such a, you know, almost well, yeah, it is, you know, tongue in cheek cliche, almost a parody of a lot of stuff you see in X-Men and all the I think Stan Lee in particular he draws from, but there's also characters that are, you know, more Batman-ish and things like that. But yeah, just a great game.
Irrational did that too, right?
Yeah, yeah. I really wish they could do a third one, but I bet they're going to be too tied up in you know, BioShock stuff and whatever else they're working on to like higher profile stuff, because that was always a pet project of theirs, that, you know, was like the development was self funded and stuff like that, which is why the technology wasn't huge. It wasn't, you know, it's not a fantastic looking game. I mean, it's very stylized, but it's not, from a technical standpoint, not a fantastic looking game, but still lots of fun.
Norm, what about you?
Blackjack. And Call of Duty 4. I've been playing a lot of multiplayer.
And the Game of Tears.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Logs, what are you playing?
I am finally starting to get really into World in Conflict, which is the RTS that slow-learning dummies like me can even enjoy. So it really pays off dividends. And once you get to the nuke, you're like, you know what? It was all worth it. But I'm also playing today, I Love Kittens, which is available for free for one day over at gamegiveawayoftheday.com.
Nice.
It's actually game.giveawayoftheday.com. And, you know, it's got kittens, so what can I say?
What's the game,
Logan?
The game, you just take care of kittens. That's it. You raise kittens.
Oh, that sounds fun.
So, yeah, but if you go to Giveaway of the Day, basically they give away one utility and one game every day, but you have to download it and activate it that day.
Mm.
So, you know, so there's like, right now there's 8 hours left.
9 hours, 49
so,
minutes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So all of you 7-year-old girls out there, go to game.giveaway.com or game.giveawayoftheday.com and check this out.
These precious,
you know, you were once a
help.
7-year-old girl too. it's kittens.
Just like a good mother cat, teach them lessons they need to learn with 6 training programs.
Jeremy, what are you playing? Well, now you're gonna go play I Love Cats or whatever.
Oh yeah, I can't wait.
Kitties.
You know, I found a list of interesting third-party Portal maps that have been made since the SDK was released.
And Bethesda made some, right?
That's the one I played. They made one called Rentest, and the file you want to Google for is Rentest 2, one word. And it's very, very challenging. It's much harder than any of the advanced maps in Portal. And it doesn't have the same aesthetic. I mean, it doesn't look as good. It doesn't look like a Valve map, but it does have the challenge and the appeal. if you're looking for some good Portal action, I highly recommend that one, because it probably took me a good, I don't know, I want to say like a half hour to figure out the puzzles. Very difficult stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
my mom, who listens to the show, brought to my attention that last week...
Hi, Jeremy's mom.
I didn't say how she whips my ass at Wii Tennis over the holiday, and I can't beat this woman at the game. Same thing with her husband, my stepdad. They are tennis aficionados at Wii Tennis, and I give them mad props.
Do they play in real life?
Wii Tennis?
No, regular tennis.
No, they don't, but apparently they spend their evenings playing Wii Sports. And that's
fantastic.
They're masters at it, yeah. It's very it's very humbling. It's kind of refreshing.
That is a heartwarming story.
We'll drag her into UT3 deathmatch.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. See if they're laughing.
Try this, huh? Mom.
Uh-huh. You laughing now? Are you, lady?
There you go.
I'm about to start playing Swashbucklers Blue versus Gray for review. And it's a high seas battle aboard Civil War era sailing ships and steam vessels. So I'll keep you posted on that.
With fisticuffs.
With fisticuffs, yes.
Ooh, I love fisticuffs.
There are third-person sword fights and bare-fisted brawling. So I figured it was right up my alley, because I love me some good bare-fisted brawling. Don't you know? And on that note, we've come to the end of another podcast. Thank you all very much for listening. Thank all the rest of you for being here. So for Jeremy Williams, Logan Decker, Dan Stapleton, and Norm Chan, I'm Kristen Salvatore. Please do feel free to subscribe to the magazine at pcgamer.com/subscribe. Keep your eyes open. There is a new video podcast coming up in, I think, a couple of days that you can find at pcgamerpodcast.com.
/video.
/video, yes. And until then, we will see you next week.
If you want.
Oh, by the way, I just want to add that all this the stuff I was talking about, seeing at CES, you'll start seeing those photos trickle onto our website, you know, throughout the week. So stay tuned.
And if you want to send us a voicemail, you can call 1-877-404-1337, extension PCG. That's 427. Toll-free call.
Bye-bye.
Laters.
Rated T for Teen.
Sierra Entertainment proudly presents World in Conflict, the most intense strategy game ever created. 5 out of 5, easily one of the best gaming experiences of 2007. GameSpy.com. 9.5 out of 10, GameSpot.com Editor's Choice. A PC Gamer Editor's Choice Award winner, 93%. IGN.com's 94% Editor's Choice. War is coming home. World in Conflict. Available now for the PC.
Bum, 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 bum. I'm ready.
I think your mic's still messed up, though.
It is messed up.
It's this weird headset.
It's the same exact headset as I have, though.
Well, I know.
And I have. Like,
I think there's something weird about this microphone, because...
Maybe there's just something weird about you.
is this any
Sorry,
better?
Did I say that out loud?
Is this any better?
Oh, yes. Food is here.
It is better.
Okay, I now know what the problem is.
What was that?
I just never imagined you would talk into the side that had the exposed screw. It just it goes against the grain of all my geek knowledge.
But we covered this last week.
Yeah.
No, we covered it in the wrong way because... Okay, it's a long story.
Change goes
we could waste all of our time going over this again and again and
actually,
again.
All the
we'll need to find out that I'm right. It was called the Giddy Up Core Exerciser. Okay, so just take in those words for a moment.
Are you sure you weren't in the AVNs?
Did we lose Logan?
No, we can't. What did you just do?
Logan laughed himself right off the podcast. Oh. Logan, what did
Sorry,
you do?
I muted. I think I muted. Can you hear me
now? Well done. Yes. We can hear you now. Yes.
All right. I think it's kind of a non... get that. You know, you don't really... you know... Can we just cut that? I don't even know where I was going.
Logan, without a script, useless.
Welcome back.
I had a point. I lost it. We should build a fence around Gaz.
just around Gads.
And put Minutemen around it.
You know what? I kind of like the idea of doing that. It's bad. That's sort of a backwards way of doing it. Like, let's not put a fence around the country. Let's just put a fence around Gary. That's much more effective.
And everywhere he goes, he has to walk around with the fence. Otherwise, he's emigrant.
With wheels. There's this old guy standing perfectly still. He's wearing this headgear that's like keeping his head from moving. And then there's a robot arm with a
with
blade.
With a razor.
With a razor. It's giving him a shave.
Great.
Nothing could go wrong.
This is perfectly safe.
I'll be there Monday.
Jeremy.
Yay.
Jeremy.
Yo.
Jeremy, let's go to Macworld.
How can we do that?
Let's go to Macworld. Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. You'll get the full gay San Francisco treatment.
What's it going to cost me?
We're not going to the Eagle, too.
Really?
Yeah, well, you should go to the Stud, too.
If you're free on Tuesday, we're going to go to Macworld. How does that sound?
And then we're going to go to Tranny Shack.
Wow.
And then you can stay up all night doing each other's nails and hair.
You and Heclina.
Oh, my God.
I'm totally going to Macworld, at least the keynote.
I don't know if we can get to the keynote, but, let's plan for that Tuesday. I'll coordinate.
All right, don't totally plan on it because I have to see what we're up to. But I would, I'll be in the office on Tuesday. So
don't lose your scrunchies.
What are you planning? Shut up, dude! I'm trying to have a conversation here.
Now, will that run on? Will you be able to run the kittens game on that?
All right. Goodbye, DJ. Goodbye, Logan. Okay.